Hi, my name is Simon Osimo, and this is my faith story. My faith journey really started when I was 11, 12, 13 years old. My parents separated and divorced before I was born, so never met my father, never met the man that brought me into this world. And my father was really an unspoken about subject. His name was never even mentioned in the house. One of the mechanisms that I used to use was money is going to make me be seen. Money is going to make me be successful. By the time I was 25, I had five or six houses. And when I joined the police at 19 years old, I used to work really hard. I would do 12, 13, 14 hour days, and everything was craving attention and recognition. My sergeant came to me one day and said, "I've got a case, I've got an investigation, which I think only you in this office can investigate." A person called Michael Long. The reason why my sergeant disliked him so much is that he'd previously investigated him, and then he found out where my sergeant lived and went round his house and tried to intimidate him and his family. For me, that was just a desire to, well, let's go out and get this guy. In the old-fashioned days, we would have tape recorders to do our police interview, and you'd have to put a new set of tapes in. And Michael would say stuff like, "Why does it take you 14 minutes to walk from your house to the station?" For me, that just made me more determined. I was like, I'm just gonna get this guy. I think when I left the police after just short of 14 years, I'd been commended by the chief of police on 13 occasions. And it fulfilled me that people recognised and people sort of maybe idolised what I'd achieved. But what I discovered that one day that I was still just as empty as I was before. I was 24, 25 years old, and I felt this just hasn't changed.
All of us are looking and longing for peace. And certainly we want to have peace in the world. We'd love to see an end to wars and to conflicts. But we're all looking for that type of peace that Simon was looking for. A type of deeper peace. A type of peace that would come to our workplaces, where we would get along with one another and all be moving together in the same mission. Or the type of peace that would impact where we live, our apartment building or our neighborhood. We'd get along and we'd have that sense of community. Or a peace that would come into our homes, that we'd be able to reconcile broken relationships and we'd have a sense of family. Or even that sense of peace within ourselves, a sense of inner peace. And so, like Simon, we all chase after it. And so we pursue many different things. We work really hard thinking that maybe that next thing that we're doing, whether it's another job or a different department or a different organization or just a little bit more money or maybe a different house or maybe a different apartment or maybe a different relationship, either one that starts or getting out of another one, that maybe those things will finally bring to us the peace that we're longing for. But what if peace, true peace, the peace that we're looking for, what if that peace isn't something that we achieve? But what if it's something that we receive? What if that peace is a peace that only God offers to us? And with that, I want to welcome you to Wooddale Church, and happy Easter, everyone. If we have not had the privilege of meeting yet, my name is Kyle. I'm the senior pastor here at Wooddale Church, and I am so grateful that you have chosen to come and to worship God with us. And the reason is I am convinced that God has an invitation for each and every one of us this Easter weekend. And that invitation is an invitation to receive His peace. So where do we find that peace? Well, that really is what the Easter story is all about. And it is a true story that happened and was documented. And here at Wooddale Church, every time we gather together for worship, we open up the Bible because it is God's word and it's God's instruction and His revelation to us. And so I want to invite you to join me in opening up the Bible. We're going to be in the New Testament and in the Gospel of Luke. And if you want to use one of the Bibles that we provide for you, they're blue, they're in the pew back in front of you, and you can find Luke chapter 24, which is where we're gonna be today, Luke chapter 24 on page 1611, 1611 in those blue Bibles. As you're turning there, let me just explain a little bit of what it is that we're reading. Luke is somebody who thoroughly investigated everything that he had heard about Jesus. And so Luke was a historian, he was a researcher, and so he set out and talked to all of the eyewitnesses about Jesus. He compiles this very comprehensive and, as we'll see, very detailed report about Jesus, and we are also confident that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. These are God's words through Luke, and they were recorded, and we read about the story of Jesus. Luke is telling us the story and the events of what happened right after the resurrection, right on that very first Easter day. And we break in verse 36 to discover the peace that God offers to us. So Luke 24, verse 36, while they were still talking about this, about all the events of the day of the resurrection, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." We'll just pause right there. So that phrase, "peace be with you," is something that if you are brand new to the Bible or you're new to following Jesus, maybe you don't know much about Jesus at all, but what you know is that Jesus is a religious figure, and that sounds like something religious people say, "peace be with you." In fact, maybe you've been in other religious environments where people have said, "peace be with you," and then somebody said, "and also with you," and you're just kind of accustomed to that, and you're like, I don't know, maybe that's just like what religious people, maybe that's how they say hello to each other, and that's kind of what this is. And for others of us who are students of the Bible, we know that that phrase, "peace," is a greeting, and we find it all throughout the New Testament. But this word here for peace is something that we kind of almost skip over this, as like this is like Jesus' introductory statement, and then he kind of gets into the real good stuff about what the resurrection is all about. But we should never just skip over any of the words of Jesus. These are the first words that Jesus spoke when his disciples gathered together right after the events of the resurrection. That event is what I believe to be the defining moment in human history. And after the most defining moment in human history, what you say first really matters. This is much more than just a, "hey guys, how's it going?" greeting. This is actually for them and for us still today, a profound invitation by God to receive his peace. And to understand that, we just need to back up a little bit and get some context. So this document was written in Greek, but all these events took place in Israel. And specifically, these events are now taking place in Jerusalem. And in Israel then and still to this day, the people there, in this day, they spoke Aramaic, but they also spoke Hebrew. And there's a word in Hebrew that is translated in our English as peace, and that Hebrew word is key to really understanding what this is all about. That Hebrew word is this word, shalom. And if you've ever done any translation work in any type of different languages, you know that when you're translating, you always have to make a decision about how one word maps on to another word in a different language. And it's never exact, so you just try to get it as close as you can. And the Hebrew word shalom maps onto our English word peace really well. That's the best English word for us. And shalom does mean peace in terms of how we think about peace as an absence of conflict or things being at rest. But the idea of shalom goes so much deeper than our idea of peace. For the Hebrew way of thinking, shalom is more comprehensive. We might use terms in our day of things like human flourishing. That shalom speaks of a type of peace or a rest that comes over somebody that allows them to be whole or complete. They have fullness. That there's like a sense of belonging. That there's abundance. And that they can thrive in their relationships and in their life. And so that's this concept of shalom. And for the Jewish people up to this moment, they had been looking for shalom. A part of their challenge was that they were being occupied by the Roman Empire, who dominated the known world at the time. And they longed for the day when they would be free from Rome. And they think what we have a tendency to think, or they thought what we have a tendency to think, and that's that That peace really will come when we get all of the circumstances in our life sorted out the right way. They kind of thought that once we can just kick the Romans out and we can kind of reestablish control over this area for ourselves, then we'll have that sense of shalom that we're looking for. And we do the same thing. We think that if we can just get the right job, just get the right relationships, just get into the right school, just get out of school, just do whatever we need to do, that finally then we will have a sense of peace. And so we're chasing that sense of peace, but it's really true actually for all of human history. In fact, you just go back in history, everybody has always been looking for the sense of peace. In fact, that goes really all the way back to the beginning. What's so ironic for us about the story of humanity is most of our efforts to try and find peace have actually prevented it. When I was growing up, my dad and my grandfather would occasionally take me fishing. And so we'd go fishing, and my grandfather would hand me one of his fishing rods. It was this big rod, just like he had, just like my dad had. And they'd set it up for me, and then I would watch them, and they would take these casts out into the lake, and it was just these long, beautiful casts that bait would just go all the way into the lake and just like perfectly plop into the water, and then they'd slowly reel it in. And then my grandpa told me, he's like, I don't throw it like that. You know, this rod's really big for you, and I didn't have the strength to navigate it well, and so he kind of showed me to do like this little underhanded, kind of lame little toss into the water. And so, I would do that, and then as soon as he wasn't looking, I would try, or thought he wasn't looking, I would try to do it what he did. Because in my mind, if I can just get that great big cast, I'm really going to enjoy fishing. But again, I lacked the strength, I lacked the coordination, I lacked the wisdom to know how to navigate this thing. And so when I would take that fishing rod and I'd try to throw it, all that would end up happening is the bait would just get all tangled up into the line. And instead of that thing zooming through the air and plopping into the lake, it would just kind of fall over in like this nest of line that was there in the water. And now you're not really fishing, you're just kind of standing there with something in the water. That's what's happened to us as humans. In our mind, we thought that that relationship in college, we thought that maybe that job that mom warned us about, but we did anyway, trying to hang out with that crew, even though we knew they probably weren't the best influence on us. We thought that if we just did all of these things, that maybe there was something in us that was like, that's not probably the best thing to do, but maybe even somebody told me not to do it, but I think I know better. I think that's what's going to bring me peace and satisfaction and fulfillment. It wasn't because we wanted to have a lack of peace that we did these things. We actually were trying to find peace, but we just weren't doing it God's way. And because we didn't listen to his instruction, we kind of made a mess of things. And now we're not really enjoying it at all. And so how do you fix it? How do you find that sense of peace and that sense of shalom? That actually goes all the way back to the core problem. See, the reason that you and I can't find that sense of peace and that sense of shalom is because we have not done things God's way. God originally created us. He made this whole world. He made it good. And he gave us, as humans, a specific role for this world. Our job from God was to run the world his way. Now, he asked us to follow his guidance because we needed it, because we don't have the maturity or the wisdom to know how to handle this responsibility that's been put into our hands. But instead of listening to him, we tried to do it our own way. And we just made a mess of things. And I know that doesn't sound very peaceful, but you never get to the solution unless you can identify the problem. Just like I'm not going to ever be fishing unless I tell my dad, hey, actually, I messed up, and I need some help getting this line back in here and sorting this all out. And that idea of letting our Father know that we need some help is exactly what Easter is all about. See, just like my dad, he actually knew the whole time that my line was messed up. So our Heavenly Father knows that our lives are not the way that they ought to be. And that's just true for all of us. In fact, God in his word is really clear about this. He says this in Romans 3:23. He says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I know that word sin can feel heavy and big, and it is. Because it's our sin, our wrongdoing, our disobedience to God, not doing it God's way, trying to do it our way. It separated us from him. And that's the problem. We will never have peace as long as we stay separated from God, because God is the source of shalom. All fullness and abundance and life comes from him. And if our relationship is not restored to him, there's no hope for us to have shalom. We'll never be able to achieve it on our own. But we don't have to. And that's what Easter is all about, because Jesus came. God's Son was sent by the Father to come and to walk among us. Jesus, fully God and fully human. And so he lived the perfect human life, and then he died a death on the cross to take the punishment for our sin. Because sin is so serious, our separation from God is so serious, the consequence of it is death. And Jesus took it for us, substituted himself for us so that we would not have to suffer that consequence, but we could be restored in our relationship to God. But Colossians says it this way, for God was pleased to have the fullness, all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, reconcile all things. Things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood that was shed on the cross. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he made it possible for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be reconciled with God. So now we have access to true peace and shalom in our relationship with God. And so that's why Jesus willingly went to the cross and was crucified. That's what we celebrated on Good Friday. But then on the third day, because Jesus is not only fully human, he's fully God, and God can't stay dead, he was risen to new life, proving that anyone who puts their faith and their trust in him will one day rise from the dead as well. And so Jesus comes out of the tomb, and early that morning, the disciples, some of the women who were his followers, they wanted to go to the tomb and to honor him, so they had these spices. It's very similar to how we will go to a grave and we'll bring flowers to the headstone, just a way to honor the person. So they're going out there to honor Jesus, and they get there, and the stone outside the tomb has been rolled away, and Jesus is gone. And they can't figure it out, because there were Roman soldiers that were guarding there to make sure that that didn't happen. And then some angels appear and say that Jesus has been risen from the dead. And then he appears to some of them. And he starts to appear to a few of them all throughout the day. And that this is just bewildering to them. And so they do what you and I would have done. They find their friends. They get together. They go, what's going on? This happened to me. What happened to you? And they're talking about it. And they're scared to death of the religious leaders and the Roman soldiers. And so they're hiding in this room that's a locked door. And suddenly Jesus appears to them. And this is what he says now, peace be with you, shalom has now come. Everything that you have always been looking for is now available because of what I have done. This is the invitation. And then he goes on to explain it. They were startled and frightened. I mean, wouldn't you be? Thinking that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. That's what we call the Old Testament. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The reason that you and I can have peace with God is because Jesus has died on the cross to take the punishment for our sin and then risen again. And so now you and I can have our sins forgiven by God. And that brings us peace. And the reason that Luke goes to all this specific detail, I mean, about the broiled fish and where they, what he was pointing to, is he just gives us all this detail to help us know that this actually happened. These events are true and this is real. Which means the invitation for God's peace, true shalom, is available today for you and me by saying yes to Jesus. When we accept the gift that God gives to us, two things happen for us. The first is that we are reconciled to God. We have peace now with God, which means you and I don't have to look to any sort of external source for our sense of peace. It's no longer about what you accomplish. It's not what other people think of you. It's not how much money you have. It's not the type of security you have about your environment or your situation or your surrounding. None of that matters because God now says you belong to his family and that's forever. And that is a peace and a love that changes us. And that leads to the second thing that happens. Once we have peace with God, we now have peace with other people because we now know what it means to be reconciled with God. And so now we can help reconcile with other people, even some of the most surprising people. We can be restored in even the most contentious of relationships, even a criminal and the person who put him in prison. As Simon found out. Here now is the rest of Simon's story.
It wasn't until my early 20s and my interactions with Michael Long that I really took my hands off the steering wheel and said, Lord, you drive. And I really stepped in and said yes to Jesus Christ. That is when my mindset changed, that's when my life changed, that's when my forgiveness changed, and that's when my peace changed, when I really took God's invitation to say yes and truly follow him. I realized that I already had a father. That Heavenly Father was always there for me. That Heavenly Father was course-correcting me. That Heavenly Father was putting physical human men in front of me to direct me and guide me in life. You don't need the validation, you just need to believe in me. I immigrated to the US in 2011 to head counterterrorism at Mall of America. Michael had still spent a lot of time in and out of incarceration, and around a decade later, a colleague that was in the police in England said that Michael had come out of prison, that he had found faith, and he had started a charity to get money for the homeless. And for whatever reason, it was 6:30 in the morning, and the Lord just prompted me and said, Simon, ring him up and have a conversation with him. Then he answered, and I instantly knew it was him, and I said, is that Michael Long? And he said, yes, who is this? And I said, you may not remember me, but I said, my name is Simon Osmo. I said, over a decade ago, I said, I put you in prison for 5 years. And he said, what are you calling me for? And I said, well, I'm living in America now. I said, I've long left the police, but I said, I've heard that you've found faith while in prison. You're doing all this good work for the homeless. And I said, I'm just ringing you to say, well done, and that I'm proud of you. And I can just hear him really emotional. And he just said, thank you for calling me and saying that you're proud of me. That means an awful lot. And then that really reminded me why the Lord connected us all those years ago, is that we were both two scared little boys seeking the validation of a father. I think it was the Lord's plan to reconnect us because we're allowed to now help and support each other through that desire to understand our fathers, have deeper connection, and be better men and people. I am no different than Michael Long. We were each created in the image of God long before our parents ever conceived us. We are all sinners. And Scripture tells me that there is no sin that our Lord and Savior cannot forgive. My sins in my personal life are any different from what Michael Long might have done in the criminal world. A sin is a sin. But it was another instance of peace and reconciliation where I could allow him to come into my world to show him that, you know, I do trust you, and for him to see that, well, actually, this is what a normal relationship looks like. This is what a normal friendship looks like. And I think that's another change that I saw in him, that he saw there's a different path, and this is actually how I'm going to live my life. I see Simon living his life through Christ, and that's how I want to live my life.
Grateful for my friend Simon and his willingness to share his faith story with us. And I want to let you know that same peace that Simon found through Jesus is available to you. It's available by just responding to the invitation that God gives to us. Here at Wooddale Church, we say it's saying yes to Jesus, which simply means to acknowledge that you need to be forgiven of your sin, and that forgiveness does not come from anything you have done or earned or achieved. In fact, it can't come that way, but it comes from accepting the gift of forgiveness and new life that Jesus offers. And that means trusting him and not you, and putting your faith and trust in him. And often how we do that here at Wooddale is we just give people an opportunity to acknowledge that, to have a conversation that's called prayer to God to accept that. Because that's what you do with an invitation. You respond to it. You accept it, or you decline it. But you need to respond to the invitation. And so if you want to say yes to Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I would invite you to silently pray along with me if you would like to say yes to him. Would you please bow your heads? If you want to say yes to Jesus, I want to invite you to silently pray. God, I acknowledge that I have done things that I know are wrong. I've tried to live life my way and not your way. You call that sin. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment for my sin. I accept his forgiveness and his death as if it were mine. Thank you for forgiving me. I invite your Spirit to come into my life, and I choose to follow you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.